Why did you join an accounting firm? Why not a startup? Why not a tech firm?
Working in the finance and accounting team at that time, realized that it was not enough for us to know accounting. Hmm. We needed to understand technology.
You run the global IT asset management solution.
We go to clients with a solution. It's not just a service or a technology platform. We go to clients with the whole story of managing governance, process, technology, people for them.
Youngsters coming into the consulting profession, what advice would you have for them?
If you know one area very well, right? You need to know two, three areas very well, and that's the nature of the market and nature of the business today.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining the next episode of Consulting Leaders Unscripted. I've got Maya with me. Maya's an amazing partner with EY, spent 15 years with the firm. She's a chartered accountant, an MBA in technology, one of the first few women who was part of implementing SAP. And then she's got lots of innovations to her credit and a lot of new technologies that she's been working with, creating assets for the firm and building a whole digital risk ecosystem within the firm. So Maya, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Mritunjay. Pleasure talking to you as always.
Let me open it up with the most relevant topic and something that's on everyone's mind. And this should be your take on what's your experience been, especially with AI coming into play, Gen AI, Agentic AI. You know, what are the risks that companies have to be mindful of? And what do you recommend that companies do, the top two or three things?
Right. So, Mritunjay, see, AI is here to stay, right? And therefore, we need to be designing guardrails to ensure that we have a risk and control framework in place, taking into consideration the massive proliferation of AI, right? Unfortunately, new age companies and startups that are really working in this space, for them, risk and controls, digital risk comes as an afterthought, right? Even though it is so important for business resilience, right? So our thought process is really to say, start including AI or emerging technology, data-related risks within your consolidated controls and compliance framework, because that is going to enable an organization overcome operational challenges and prepare them for unforeseen financial liabilities. So it's really important that while in the course of all the innovation, the people take into consideration what could go wrong and prepare
Absolutely.
Themselves to mitigate it.
You know, you've got this whole tech persona around you. You've studied technology. You've also been a big part of building tools, bringing in innovation. So just help me understand, why 15 years ago when you joined EY, why did you join an accounting firm? Why not a startup? Why not a tech firm? And tell us what you love about the firm.
Right. So just a quick story, right? When I joined the workforce more than 20 years ago, I was an accountant, but I was part of a team that was implementing SAP R3 in one of the energy companies in India. Very complex implementation, first of its kind in the sector. And many of us working in the finance and accounting team at that time realized that it was not enough for us to know accounting. We needed to understand technology, right? And subsequently, I moved around to build skills in technology, and EY gave me an absolutely great platform. I joined Digital Risk, and I think you need to have very sound understanding of how finance and accounting work together with how applications work so that you're able to understand digital risk in the entire perspective of the business, correct? And EY has provided me fantastic opportunities to think through what clients need, understand both expressed and unexpressed requirements, and think about what's changing and therefore how we need to change what we do for our clients.
That's fantastic to hear. And also you run the global IT asset management solution. So how is that running a global solution out of India? And obviously now India's way up there on the global map in consulting. But, you know, through the years, have you seen it grow and become more and more relevant? How has that journey been of driving the whole of EY as far as IT asset management goes?
Great. So that's a very nice, that's a good question because it's so close to heart. We started building our ITAM Center of Excellence several years ago, when not many people in Compete were thinking about it. So today we have a very large team that services clients both within India and outside India. So we're capable of working in an on-site, off-site kind of a model. We also do a lot of work with GCCs because they have the same thought process. So they've moved their ITAM Center of Excellence to India, and therefore we work back with several GCCs as well. Now the question that we are constantly faced with is, what do we do within the ITAM COE that is actually different from what other people are doing, right? So it's not just about running operations effectively or efficiently, or running operations in a way that your TCO is coming down year on year. What is a transformative change that we can make? And that's the reason why we started thinking about our own automation platform. Okay, we go to clients with a solution. It's not just a service,
right,
or a technology platform. We go to clients with the whole story of managing governance, process, technology, people for them. And while we strive to achieve outcomes together with the client, right, and the outcomes could be in the form of, saving cost on their total hardware or software spend, in terms of enabling them to have a better user experience,
right,
to enhance the maturity of overall IT operations, because at the end of the day, the CIO or the CTO or the CDO have a finite budget. They have only so many hours in the day, and they're all focused on transformation. They're all focused on emerging technologies. But the challenges that they see are on the ops side. So
yes,
we give them an opportunity to efficiently and effectively manage their operations so that the CIOs can really focus on transformation, which is what they like most.
So what about your personal life? I mean, you've got a really successful career, long hours, I'm assuming. Or maybe not, depends how well you manage work. But what about your personal life? How do you balance EY and home? And, what really is special outside of EY?
Right. I think my whole outlook to work is a little different. I don't think about it in terms of balancing work and life. I think about it as in terms of integrating my work into my life. So there are days when work consumes several hours of the day, and there are days when I manage to do otherwise, right? It all depends upon what time you're prioritizing what. Having said that, I love traveling, and I always find time to travel. In fact, I do that 2-3 times a year. So I take a break 2-3 times a year. Need not necessarily be completely off work kind of a break, but for me, like I said, I don't have this in my head that when I'm on a break, I'm only on a break, right? It's a question of if I need to get something done during the day, I will end up doing it. So I'm not so hard and fast on things.
Amazing.
Like that.
So you're one of those people who's got work-life harmony, if I may call it that.
I enjoy what I do, and I think that comes out of the enjoyment.
Awesome. So I hope the Iceland trip was not to scout for data centers, since the temperature is right out there. So why Iceland?
Yeah. So most of my holidays, Mritunjay, are difficult holidays, and I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
So if I go to a holiday and I'm lounging around and I'm not doing much, I will end up checking my phone or emails or talking to people at work. And to avoid that, I ensure that my holidays are already packed. Okay, so then I start off at 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm out till 6 or 7 in the evening. Wow. So you don't have time for anything much. No, I wasn't scouting for data centers. That's a good idea though. Maybe I should try it the next time around. But yeah, that was a fantastic holiday. It's a beautiful place. It's not crowded. It's cold all the times of the year, but it's really, really different.
Amazing.
So that's actually working.
Brilliant. And so what would be the top 2 or 3 issues that, say somebody in marketing would deal with? And I'm saying that because, while we've spoken of compliance, we've spoken of the board, we've spoken of the C-suite, I think the even marketing, because it's now, or the front office, let me put it that way, what are the top 2 or 3 issues that you see in the front office, which traditionally, as a risk professional, we would have mostly stayed out of?
Yeah, so I think today professionals, both front and back end, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're all empowered.
Hmm.
Okay, the generation that I came from, when marketing managers needed information, they had to go back and ask the finance executives and wait for them to provide that info.
Hmm.
Okay,
hmm.
But today you've got applications which are deployed where the marketing professional doesn't really need to go back and ask anybody for it. Now what that happens is, what happens as a result of that is, the frontline person is responsible for everything, right? Starting from generating the data, hoping that the data is correct, and there is nobody else managing that whole ecosystem of tools or of data. Now that poses an additional risk to say, if the data in your systems or the controls around those systems are not appropriate, right? There are no two levels of checks that are actually existing within this whole ecosystem. So while on one hand people at the front end are empowered, but the systems will work only when you've got a risk and control framework in the background, a governance in
absolutely.
The background, a process in the background
absolutely.
That actually empowers folks in the front end.
No, absolutely. It just provides more structure and ability to grow faster, bring in more speed. So maybe I think one last question would be, people starting their career, youngsters coming into the consulting profession, what advice would you have for them? How do they, one, survive, which is, I guess, we all know how tough it is, but how do they thrive, which is, I think, the greatest part of being in a consulting firm?
Yeah, I think my one advice for them would be to develop multidimensional skills.
Hmm.
It's not just enough if you know one area very well, right? You need to know 2-3 areas very well, and that's the nature of the market and nature of the business today. You need to have a natural aptitude for technology, and you need to keep yourself abreast of technological changes. And you need to be adaptive and flexible, because that's again the need of the business environment today. So that will be my couple of advice to youngsters who are coming into the workforce today.
So thank you so much, Maya. Totally appreciate speaking to you. This was fantastic. And look forward to catching up with you in office.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mritunjay. Thanks for the time, and pleasure talking to you as always.
Cheers.